Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Claire Coffey, and you're listening to Stardust Radio with Jen, Joanne, and Desi.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson, and you're listening to Stardust Radio with Jen, Joanne, and Desi.
Hi, this is Jennifer Barron.
And Andrew Moreira Barron.
And you're listening to
Stardust Radio
with Jen, Joanne, and Desi.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Stardust Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is Monday, May 19th, 2008. I'm your host, Jennifer, and I'm here with my girls and my wonderful co-hosts, Desi and Joanne.
Hello.
Hello, girls. Hi.
Hi.
Okay. As always, our call-in number is 347-945-5423. You can also log on to our chat room. And don't forget to rate our show when we are done. So, girls, you're excited about tonight's show?
Oh, gosh, I love me a bad boy.
Just a little bit?
Okay. Well, we have a great guest tonight, as everybody knows. He has appeared in countless TV shows and plays. We know him best as bad boy Dr. Ian Devlin. Please welcome Seamus Eaver. Seamus?
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good.
Hi, Seamus.
Good. Hello.
As you can tell, we're very excited to have you on the show.
Are you really? Wow, I'm very, very flattered. My God.
Sorry.
So you're on the East Coast now, right?
I am on the East Coast, yes. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, a lovely,
beautiful,
charming little colonial town.
Mm-hmm.
It's the height of tourist season. And, you know, what can you say? The weather's much better here than L.A. I think it got to 101.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's insane. So I'm glad to be here in, like, 80-degree weather. I'm all right with that, frankly. But, yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm shooting a TV show called Army Wives.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It kind of happened right on the heels of my demise from General Hospital. So, playing another doctor, actually, this guy's name is Chris Ferlinghetti, or Getty for short. So,
okay.
From one doctor to another right now. And I'm actually doing a play right now in L.A. that I'm playing another doctor as well. So I'm on
typecast.
I guess so. I mean, that's what I think starts to happen is God, oh, yeah, he makes a good doctor. I think it's basically just like, oh, look at him in Scrubs. And like, oh, God, he lends those Scrubs an air of authority or something. So, you know, he looks like he could be paid for that. Any, regardless to say, my mother is very happy. She always wanted me to be a doctor, so.
Oh, there, can't beat that.
Exactly. I get to at least take it. So.
Without all the years of school, you got it.
Yeah, exactly. All of them, years of school and just...
And all those student loans.
Yeah. Oh, all of those.
Well, see, when you live in Port Charles, though, you know, you can pretty much get your doctor's degree in, like, what, 2 days?
Yeah.
You graduate school and you're like...
It's a mail-in certificate. It's like a correspondence internet course, you know, that you take and you're like, oh, hey, who are you? I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. Well, Seamus, tell us a little bit more about your play that just opened in L.A.
Oh, I'm doing a play called Boise, USA, and it's about there was a sex scandal in Boise, Idaho in 1955 that involved some underage boys and some kind of middle-aged members of the community. And it's very interesting because what started happening with that scandal was Time Magazine came and did an article and totally blew it out of proportion, and all of a sudden, it was this like huge homosexual underworld going on in Boise, Idaho, which it really wasn't, and it kind of got the nation's attention back in 1955, believe it or not, and some of the leaders in the community started using it as a way to get rid of some political rivals. So because all you had to do back then was basically call someone either a communist or a homosexual, and then all of a sudden they were instantly persecuted and had a tough time convincing the people otherwise. So it's really interesting. It's a very Arthur Miller-esque kind of piece, and it's a true story. I play a doctor who is assisting who's based on a real-life character named Dr. Jack Butler, who is he's a psychiatrist who comes to Boise and has some family in town. and starts finding out that this kind of starts to become a conspiracy and getting people to understand these things. So and mostly help out with like the teenage boys and question them. So yeah, it's very interesting. I just opened it last week, and I had to miss my first matinee because I'm here. So It's okay. I'm not heartbroken about missing matinees. It's always much more fun doing theater at night. However, I missed my first matinee yesterday, and I'll be missing a couple shows, and then back on Saturday somehow to do Saturday night's performance and Sunday afternoon. So, yeah, it's crazy. My life is a little bit insane right now.
And how long is the show going to run for? Is it a
The show runs. Yeah, no, the show runs at until I think June 29th is when we close. God knows how many performances I'll actually be in because I'm here half of the time. But it's at 8 o'clock. I'll give a little plug here at the Matrix Theater, which is a pretty well-respected theater. A lot of really good shows premiered there in Los Angeles on Melrose Avenue. So, I'm very happy to be in it. I think we got some good reviews, although I try not to read those because if you read the good stuff, you have to read the bad stuff. And we all know what happens when you read things like message boards about General Hospital online.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you read the good and the bad, and you're like, oh, they really liked me, but they hated my hair. What
the? Hey, Des, I thought of a great present you could get me. You can take me to Seamus's play.
Oh, I already planned on doing that when you came.
Fantastic. I'll have to post on my website what days I'm in it so that.
Okay, good.
I already had some friends who were like, "What do you mean you're not at the show today?" So look for that on SeamusDever.com and look for that. So yeah, I'll post
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, how long are you going to be? How many episodes are you doing of Army Wives?
So far, it's slated for four. I have a four-episode arc. I'm feeling it'll be more. It's kind of one of these wait sees. I don't know what's going on right now with television, and they're kind of in a nervous little holding pattern kind of thing, but because of the impending possible strike that I hope does not happen, and a lot of other people are hoping does not happen.
We hope too.
Well, thank you. Yes, it's one of those things. It gets very political. I'm a member of all the unions.
Right.
So, my SAG union is, you know, arguing with my AFTRA union, and I'm kind of, I feel like I hate it when mom and dad fight. I don't know what to do. But hopefully they all reach an agreement with the producers so there's no work stoppage. So, but yeah, right now I'm scheduled for four. When it's kind of one of those things that we'll see, you know, how the character develops. I'm a friend of Catherine Bell on the show, if you remember her from
Yeah,
she's a lovely, lovely person, and I worked with her years ago on JAG. I think she was actually trying to put me in the brig when I played a Marine on JAG, but this time it's nice to actually have conversations with her and stuff, so yeah.
Oh, so that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Cool. Army Wives is a really good show.
Yeah, that's what the writing's pretty good. It's not to say anything bad about General Hospital. It's the writing.
Could say something bad about General Hospital.
Yeah, so can I.
Oh,
so could I.
I mean, I love General Hospital. Don't get me wrong, but I was like really pissed off when I found out that they were actually going to kill you off. I didn't know until the day. I try not to read spoilers.
Oh,
and stuff like that, because I like to be, you know, the element of surprise. And when I saw you get shot, I was just kind of flipping out. I was like, I can't believe that they were killing him. I thought, you know, you were just going to go away for a little while and then come back and wreak havoc and that kind of thing. But I was really mad.
Well, thank you. Yeah, a lot of people have said that to me as well, that they can't believe that this happened. And, you know, it's one of those things that happen in soaps. I mean, it was what was really fun is like I don't know if you kind of track the progress of the way when I started, you know, the way that they were writing Ian was very interesting because it for me was very unsoapy, and this is my first experience in a soap opera, and I was hesitant, you know, to be honest, to get in a soap opera because it's very comfortable, you know, you go to the same place, the lines, you know, are never really tremendously difficult. And so the dialogue is mostly about being conversational, making it loose and making some choices with it, and that's great. But, you know, all the stuff they were having me doing was, like, stuff you'd see on, like, primetime. I mean, I was talking about, like, health care in this country and things like that. And I was like, this is really interesting. I didn't expect this when I jumped on board. And then it started changing when the old writers came back. And nothing against any of them. But, you know, it's the story. They have to kind of create their own story. And the way Garen was writing me before, because he kind of created my character, was vastly different than when everyone else came back.
Right.
And that's fine. You know, they have to write they have their own creativity, just like the actors have their own creativity. They have to write the story they want. So, you know, I understand a lot of people, you know, are probably pissed off at him. But Bob's a very nice guy, and everyone loved me there. The thing was, like, it was one of the saddest moments, because Jill Phelps called me up in her office. It was really hilarious, because it was kind of like getting called up into the principal's office. So she called me up into the office, and she loves me, and I love her, and she loves my work. She's been wanting to bring me on that show for, like, 4 or 5 years, because I tested years back for another role. Don't ask me which one, because I can't remember. Something to do with Carly. It was like some boyfriend who was a cop, but was like a CSI kind of cop, and was involved with Carly somehow years back. So I had tested that one years back, and they'd been wanting to bring me aboard. I didn't get that role, but then I actually auditioned for Johnny a couple months back. Is that funny? And the way that all happens. And Brandon's a great guy, so I'm glad he got. I'm a little bit older than him, so I totally see what happens with that. But I kind of got in their conscience at that point, and they said, well, you know, we got to find something for Seamus. So
it all
happened like that. And I'm glad it came. It came during the middle of the strike, and none of my friends were working. I felt almost guilty for working. because, like, all my friends, like, I mean, some great actors that I know, you know, Emmy Award-winning, Tony Award-winning actors that I've worked with. A theater company with, I'd go to readings and they'd be just like, God, I can't wait till the strike gets over. And I'm like, yeah, me too. God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and meanwhile, you were working. So.
Exactly. Going to work every day. And they're like, oh boy. So, no, I love being on General Hospital. It was a great time. The studio is like a mile from my apartment. So I got to bike every day there on my mountain bike, which was kind of weird. I think it freaked everyone out because nobody does that in Los Angeles. But, you know, I'm all about being a little bit more green these days. So, so it was a great time. I had a great time with it. But, things shift.
We had Sonia Eddy on the show on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
She said that you were one of her most favorite people on General Hospital, and she was so sad to see you go.
Oh, she's so sweet. Yeah. I think the first day I worked with her, she's like, your blue eyes, I just can't stop looking at them. I'm like, oh. Very sweet of you, Sonia. And like, it's so funny because our relationship, you know, was kind of confrontational and you know, but we were just completely friendly and completely amicable off camera. Hilarious how that generally kind of works, you know, that like, you're like, we're supposed to hate each other. Like with Sebastian, I mean, he's ridiculously funny. And,
yes, he is.
I think the day he got the pistol with me, no idea. He was like a little kid. He was like, yeah, I get to smack you. It was like, and he's, you know, it's amazing. A lovely person. We bonded a long time way back because we're both theater people from way back. And so we have like a ton of friends in common, actually. So we bonded a long time ago, but he was so excited about you just to smack me around that day. He was looking at me for
it. Sounds like,
man. What was that?
I said it sounds like Sebastian.
Yeah, it's just like him. He's a lovely nutcase. Because he's off shooting a documentary right now about that he's producing about let me get this right. I think it was I want to say a Rwanda. There's this guy that he met at a charity fundraiser, who goes in and retrains these child soldiers. He like abducts them and then kind of reintegrates them back into society. So it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So he's over there shooting a documentary there, I think right now about it or something. Anyway, but that's he's an adventurous fellow. have to ask him about that if you ever get him on. So yeah.
Well, everybody's asking if you're going to Fan Club Weekend.
When is it? That's in July. Yeah.
It's in July.
Schedule permitting, I would love to go. Is it fun? Should I go?
Yes.
Oh,
go.
You should go.
Go. These people are going crazy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, me and Jen will be there, so you have to go.
Okay, I should go. I will. Yeah, I'll see what's going on with my schedule. I don't know if I'll be here or not. I mean, it's kind of all up in the air. I don't know if we'll be on strike or not. So you might get everyone, you know, so, stop by or to come to the weekend. So yeah, I got my invitation, so I have to respond and.
Yeah, you should go. They're all going nuts.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a General Hospital fan, and as for the short time that you were on, you built such a big fan base there already. So once they latch on to you when you're on a soap, they don't let go. They'll follow you everywhere. So
wow,
you're stuck with all of us.
So no matter where you go, theater, movies, whatever, you'll always have this core group of General Hospital fans that will follow your career forever.
That is so sweet. It's very nice. That's actually very comforting.
Well, yeah, so they're definitely saying you definitely need to be there. So
all right, I hope to be there. Yeah, I think the only thing that will get in the way is being here. But, you know, I will find out a little bit more as I get closer. I hope to be there, if that's an answer. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're satisfied with that.
Excellent. Okay.
Actually, let's take a call. Area code 301. You're on with Seamus.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Good. How are you?
I'm lovely.
I can hear you.
Yay. There was a little gap there. I heard total silence.
Uh-oh.
So anyway, I had a question, which is when you came on first as Ian, I think it would have been really easy to just play him as, like, you know, like the latest one-note bad guy, you know, who's brought onto the show to make Sonny and Jason look good and less bad. Less bad by comparison.
Right.
You know, if your hired killer is going to be the good guy, you've got to have somebody really bad standing next to him.
Right.
But anyways, I think it would have been really easy to just play him as, like, you know, one note evil, but I think you were kind of playing him like there was a backstory there, like there was depth, and I kept wanting to know what the backstory was.
Oh, God, yeah.
So I feel totally cheated now that they killed him and we're never going to find out. So what I'm wondering is, like, did the writers or whoever, did they give you an idea of what his story was, or did you make one up in your head, or am I going to die never knowing the answer?
Well, I think it's fairly safe that I can reveal some things about. I spoke with Soap Opera Weekly like a couple weeks ago, and I spilled the beans about everything, and they didn't really print any of it. So I don't know why. I mean, it's safe to say that Ian's dead. That Ian is. I mean, but is anyone ever dead in soap opera land?
Yeah,
is anybody
really,
ever
exactly.
dead?
Exactly.
That ever happened?
He doesn't have like a non-evil twin that's going to show up later.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, they like me playing a bad guy, and I've played a bad guy for so long. So thank you very much for that. By the way, I guess I reached my goal because I didn't want to play him as just a straight off bad guy. I mean, it actually didn't start off as me being a bad guy. It was kind of like ambiguous over, you know, for instance, okay, those drugs that I was bringing into the country. What kind of drugs do you think they were?
Medicinal drugs.
Yeah, they're not like heroin. Like, you know, I'm bringing it. My favorite thing is.
But you were enabling Nicholas to continue to see Tumor Emily for like weeks and weeks and weeks. And for that alone, you should be shot.
Right. Oh,
this is
wow.
Terrible.
Well, if you noticed, what was something that was very interesting happened. Did you notice that I died on the show remarkably around the same time that he stopped seeing her ghost? Oh, convenient. I think. I always kind of knew. I mean, I think that the date they gave was like April 16th or something like that. So I always knew that I was going to be there as long as Natty would be there. And I'd be like, okay, you know, I'll be there at least as long as she is. And then I'm like, okay, it's got to be happening soon. So, you know, so yes, I was enabling all those things. You know, it got very strange because at the beginning I was always warning him about those things. And then at the end, I kind of just turned into an extortionist. You know, and it was just straight up bad guy. You know, it was less of that kind of good guy, bad guy, or you know, bad guy was conflicted kind of stuff.
That's my other question, is where did the $10 million go? Why did you need money from Kate?
I guess I squandered it on dames or something.
Yeah.
And certainly not on. Yeah, certainly not on.
Port Charles.
Streetwalkers, you know, they're high currency prostitutes in Port Charles.
Right.
They, you know, and it certainly wasn't on any sort of like hotel bill because that place was a dump. It was a dump day one. It never got clean. So,
God.
Yeah, anyway, where was I about telling you the backstory?
You
oh yes.
To tell me the backstory.
I was going to tell you the backstory. So, yes, when I got passed, it was kind of a chaotic time because it was, you know, the head, there, you know, Jill was doing a lot of the writing herself as well. So it was, she was constantly, Jill Phelps was constantly, you know, doing this stuff. And so it kind of didn't trickle down about like what, like that tattoo would look like. And things like that, like what the intent of the tattoo. And at first they threw it on a tattoo that was like a biker tattoo, and then we had to reshoot all of that stuff because it wasn't actually supposed to be a biker tattoo. It was supposed to symbolize something from my past, and Jill told me what it was, and all the stuff that I thought was going to come out never came out. That basically my understanding is this, and I think I'm fairly, I don't think I'll get in trouble for saying any of this. What are they going to do, kill me?
Good point.
Yeah, see? I don't even work for them anymore. They're very nice people. But what I found out was that I became an oncologist because of a death, that I had a child, and I'm pretty sure it was a boy that died from cancer. And so that was the reason why I stopped being, that I pursued a new specialty. From cosmetic surgery to oncology, so I became a cancer doctor because of that. And so that was the, and so the tattoo on the shoulder was the angel always there to remind me. It was a metaphor on my shoulder, and it was always it was there, you know. And that was the original intent of the you know, the character, that it's like it was the thing in my past that was driving me to get these drugs, these experimental drugs, not just to facilitate Nicholas's hallucinations or ghosts or visions or whatever. It was to actually find some experimental drugs and that poor Charles was, you know, perfectly far enough away from the big cities that I could get away with that, you know, that I could do some of these testing. So it was kind of like, you know, all for the greater good. Was essentially what I originally thought of the character, and I thought that's where it was going to go, and all that was going to be revealed. Like, I think in my past, I also had a wife who, because of the death of the child, she lost her mind and is at an institution somewhere, and that was maybe or maybe not going to come out. You know, I don't know. I feel fairly safe in saying these things because I don't know that Ian himself is coming back in that incarnation, but maybe in a different incarnation. So, like, all these things were, like, you know, things – I mean, they were hinted at so much. I was like, let's just say it already. I think there was one time where Claire walked into the locker room. Nadine walked in and sees it and says something about the tattoo on my shoulder. She's like, well, you believe in angels or something? And I said, he said, well, why do you? And she said, I can't remember what it was, but I hinted at, I was like, well, I do believe in something reminding me, and, you know, and so it was like hinted at so many times. And I was just like the whole thing about, you know, redoing Jerry's face. I never said I did your face, but it was like, I could get you another one, you know, or I could just damage this one or something. So yeah, that was the one that did Jerry's plastic surgery. I don't know what he was coming from before, the whole Mr. Moreau, Mr. what was the other name? There's so many names that he
Craig.
Had. Yes, that was right. Yeah. And so, yeah, that was what the intent was. And it all started out like that. And I thought it was really cool that that stuff was going to be revealed. And it, I guess we ran out of time for that to be revealed. So.
Can I just say now that after hearing all that stuff, they really do suck?
They do. I'm very upset right now.
You just said all that. They really, really do suck.
Well,
I wish I hadn't asked now. That's depressing.
It is depressing.
Well, no, I mean, that's the stuff I was playing. You know, that was all the stuff when...
My God. Yeah, but there was so much depth to that character they could have brought out.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
No,
yeah.
And, you know, to just kill you off after in that silly last scene with Maxie and...
They really suck.
That's all I got to say.
It got a little goofy in the last couple of days. That whole thing with Spinelli, and it turned into like an episode of Scooby-Doo at the end. I'm like, what the hell are they going to have me doing next? I do like the fact that if you remember the episode where Spinelli jumps on my back and then he came at me like a spider monkey. It was crazy. I got to improv a line. The line was "Get off of me," and I got to call him a weirdo, and I was very proud that I got to call Spinelli a weirdo. Trevor's a great guy, and he's actually an old theater guy, so we had a lot of cool conversations. We know lots of people in common because it's a really small world. I got to call him. I said, "Get off my back, you little weirdo!" And that I was like,
a lot of you came from theater. Branson also came from theater. He did a couple of things.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean Sonia as well. She came from that as well. Who else is from theater background? Yeah, I can't remember. And so it's kind of nice. It's, you know, it really lends itself to working on a soap. I would guess, but definitely on General Hospital because it works very quick and it's all about. It's kind of all about making choices and being prepared and having that kind of confidence, you know, because you don't get very many takes, you know. You better go in there with ideas. That was always the most fun about working there because they give me, like, this huge page-and-a-half-long speech, which I noticed they weren't giving to anyone else, but they were giving it to me. There was one day where I had, like, I had some sort of stomach sickness or food poisoning, and I had this page-and-a-half-long script speech, and I had already, you know, done my homework and made my choices, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. I get to, you know, ride this monologue out. And so it's really helpful having a theater background that way because I think a lot of, not to put down people who just do film and that stuff, but they tend to get a little hesitant about talking for too long. whereas theater people are like, yes, give me words. I'll recite some Shakespeare just like I went to school for, that kind of thing, so... So that was a lot of fun, playing Ian with those things. I like that.
It
happens. You know,
it happens. I know.
That's what I'm saying. In the end, there's not enough time to tell every single story. You know, it's like that. That's I see they're under time constraints, and they want to keep it focused around, you know, three or four characters and the world kind of around them facilitating.
Yeah, then it doesn't blend well. All right, I'm jumping off the hater bandwagon. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay. Well, it's 10:30, and what we do at 10:30 is we do a segment called Favorites, and it's 10 questions about your favorite things, and you should be able to answer really quickly because they're your favorites.
Okay.
All right. So, ready?
Ready.
Okay. Your favorite color?
Blue. Blue is a great color.
Your favorite animal?
A cat. Any kind of cat. I'm a Leo, so I'm supposed to say cats, I think. Right?
So far, we have two things in common. Okay. Your favorite movie?
I have two favorite movies, and they, I always say this, but my favorite movie is Chinatown. Love that movie. It's absolutely fantastic. And The French Connection, oddly enough. So I love movies from the 70s, but those two were just fantastic. And Gene Hackman he's like a god of mine, and Jack Nicholson in those days. Oh my God. So yeah, those two.
Hello.
Hello, you still there?
We're here. Are you there?
Oh, I'm still here. Yeah, I didn't hear. Did you ask me something?
No. I didn't hear.
No. You know what? It looks like the whole switchboard dropped down.
Oh,
no.
Boy.
Did you see that, anybody?
Oh, it did. Oh, that's not good.
Okay. No, that's just... Yeah, it's back on. That just means it's... That just means it's busy, Seamus, because whenever we have someone so popular on... So many people try and get through our switchboard at the same time. Sometimes it just crashes. But you're okay. As long as we, yeah, as long as we didn't lose you, I'm all right.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm back. I'm back.
Okay, she's back. I was like,
hello. Okay. So where was I? Okay, your favorite TV show.
Favorite TV show of all time or right now?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. My favorite TV show right now is Mad Men, and my favorite. Probably TV show of all time is The Sopranos. So,
yeah.
Yes. I give a double answer there. I cheated. Sorry.
Your favorite actress and actor?
I love Kate Blanchett. She's fantastic. I don't know if she's my favorite of all time, but probably. Oh God, favorite actor. That's really tough. Al Pacino used to be my favorite, and then I. I can't say that. No, nothing. He's a great actor. Probably Jack Nicholson or Gene Hackman. Between those two, I would think, in their early work or still now. Ed Harris, he's fantastic too. Jeffrey Wright, he's an amazing actor. It's hard to really narrow down to one. So.
What about your favorite book?
Favorite book. My favorite book. Is The Master and Margarita by Mikhail Bulgakov. It's a Russian novel from 1931. It's brilliant. It's a Soviet farce. I went to school over in Russia, so I kind of have really odd, eclectic taste when it comes to plays and novels. It's things usually no one's ever heard of. So. But if you haven't read it, please read it. It's hilarious. It's very funny.
I'll have to go pick that up now.
Yes.
Your favorite vacation spot?
Favorite vacation spot? Either Ireland or Greece. I have lots of family in Ireland, so that's fantastic. And Greece, I had my honeymoon there. So Santorini, if you haven't gone, oh my God, it's like paradise. So please go.
Your favorite childhood toy?
My favorite childhood toy is a stuffed animal that I still have named, God, this is so unoriginal, but I thought it was really original at the time, Rocky Raccoon, because I was six, and I guess I had heard, you know, the Beatles White Album, and I was like, okay, I have a raccoon, I'm going to name Rocky. So it's a stuffed animal named Rocky Raccoon. Yeah, there you go.
Your favorite food?
My favorite food, pizza. I'm a vegetarian, and but I eat cheese, so yes, I can test that. I could eat pizza at every single meal. And my wife frequently comments how that's probably really a bad habit. But I could eat pizza at every single meal and not really think twice about it.
Who does that sound like, does?
Yeah, I know.
I could do that, too. I eat pizza all the time. Like, when I go to work, and my coworkers are like, you had pizza yesterday. I was like, I know, but it's so good.
You know how some people do that? Like, my wife can never eat two meals of the same in a row. For her, it's more of like a variety thing. But me, I don't ever think about that. I'm like, yeah, I could eat pizza at every meal. Who cares? And sometimes it's even bad pizza. What they say about pizza, that even if pizza is like sex, even when it's bad, it's okay. You know?
And on that note, your favorite singer and or band?
My favorite band, it's probably a toss-up. Tom Waits is brilliant. I love him. And he got me through some hard times. Thank you, Tom. Radiohead is my favorite band. They're on tour right now. Go see them if you can get It's Radiohead. Ah, they're brilliant.
And that is our favorite segment.
Okay.
Did I do well?
You did have
awesome.
Fantastic. But now we need to know the bad part about that favorite list, and what's your pet peeve? The biggest pet peeve that you have?
People who are rude to servers and or chauffeurs or anyone in the service industry. I can't stand that because I used to be one of them. So I've had some of the worst jobs you could ever imagine. and being when people were rude to me, it was incredibly disheartening. So probably people who are rude to people in the service industry, I would say.
I can agree with that. I was a waitress for many years.
Yeah, it's not fun being treated bad. I remember that, you know, and it felt just lower than low. And you know, glad those days are over. However, it's you know you remember them and you remember the tip.
Sure. What was the worst tip you got?
None. That was it. You know, it was not getting a tip. And I think there's some Europeans or something that did it. It was like some German tourists or Dutch tourists. There's always Dutch tourists. It was. I think it was in college. I went to school at Northern Arizona University, and we had this steakhouse called Black Bart's, and I was a singing busboy there. I didn't have enough seniority to be a singing waiter. I was working my way up to waiter, but then I graduated. I think during the summer season, we'd always get these crazy German Dutch tourists that would come through because they get like 6 weeks off a year from vacation, go Deutschland. And I'd like no tip because in Europe, I think that's the thing. But yeah, it was kind of like, oh, I really busted my ass and I didn't get a tip at all. Yeah, that was probably the worst tip I've
ever had. I think I can up you on that one. I was working in a diner in South Florida, and a bunch of French Canadians came in, and they left me a bag of coupons for shampoo.
Oh, my God. What kind of shampoo?
I don't know. Some kind of shampoo for your hair. That was my tip.
That's funny. They're probably like coupons too from like Quebec or something. So you couldn't even redeem them, and they were in like French.
Oh my gosh! My manager chased them out into the parking lot. It was hysterical.
Oh my God!
But Desiree has some questions, right?
Oh yes. Hi, Seamus.
Hi, Desiree. Hit me with your questions.
Okay. I really like the dynamic and the what could have been between you and Sam.
Yes.
I asked Kelly the same question, and she didn't know what was going on. What did you hope would happen, or what did you think that was going to work
out? I thought we were going to hook up.
So did I.
I thought we were going to hook up. No, I thought
I
it was.
I was waiting for that, too.
I wanted you to.
a lot of people did, too. Well, I thought that's what was going to happen. I thought it was headed down that road. You know, it's always that thing of, like, you know, if you have a love interest, then it's, you know, you're going to be on the show a while. But, you know, so they were just hinting for a long time. We had fun together. And it was, you know, it's kind of like she kind of reminds me as a person of, like, I think she reminds me of this girl that I went to college with, who's kind of like a tough Italian girl who, you know, like could probably, you know, crack you in the jaw. And and you completely.
Kelly. Yeah, that is Kelly.
Yeah, you'd totally forgive her for it. She's like, oh, that's so sweet. kind of got that tough girl exterior, but she's very sweet. So, you know, it's like I kind of instantly, and some of my, you know, best friends, we, you know, I give we give each other hard times and everything. So it was kind of that dynamic. And so that was fun. So, I had a good time. And I thought they were going to give us more stuff and everything. And they did, you know. It was hard to say if I was just being used as a wedge between her and Lucky or not, you know, and it's hard to say. And she was actually, you know, kind of happy about, you know, it breaking free of the, what do they call it, the quartet? Is that what everyone had been calling it for years?
Yeah.
That you know, breaking free of that vicious cycle, the vicious circle of the quartet. And, you know, that was where I thought it was going to head and everything. And it stopped heading there, and then they gave that one last kind of scene or a couple scenes at the motel room where I
yeah.
So
I thought you two were great. I thought you guys had so much chemistry between you two. It was just awesome to watch you guys.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we had fun together.
Some of the scenes in the hospital when you were, like, talking to Jason when he came to see Sam, I thought those were great and funny because nobody ever just cuts off Jason and tells him, you know, you're not supposed to be here. And, you know, you would love
it. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was awesome. I just loved it.
What was it? When I shut the curtain on Greg's face, there was
that. Yeah,
that
was great.
Greg was so pissed about that. I'm like, what, that never happens to you? He's like, you new guy. I'm just going to, Okay, Greg was awesome, too. I wish I got to work with him a little bit more, too. But, it was a lot of fun. You know, there's a layer of acting out there that is totally invisible to the people out there. But sometimes you have to say really silly things on camera. And you're paid to say really silly things, and you don't have the foggiest idea how it's going to come out and not sound weird, and so you're not necessarily making fun of the lines, but you confess that to your partner that you're working with, in this case Kelly, that I'm like, I have no idea how to say that and not come off as a total perv, so so please help me to not sound like a total perv. And knowing that happening, knowing that I was going through that, it kind of lent this kind of air of very relaxed kind of joking quality about everything. So it became about that, you know, and it was, you know, about, I think everyone, what a lot of people were saying, you know, they emailed me and stuff and they'd say it was nice to see, you know, Sam smile.
Oh, yeah,
everything.
Definitely. Yeah,
and that was part of that, was just us having a good time. With some funny things and some funny situations and a very odd way of hitting on her, because I think I was, but
you did or he did.
It was a very odd manner of it. Yeah, like what did I say that one time? Like in a beautiful woman like you would wear that passes for a swimsuit. I think I said something like that. And I was like, well, how do I say that? That's very forward of me, and you know so. So we just joked it off, and it came off as something that was kind of fun. So, you know.
Oh, it was wonderful, and you were absolutely great on that show. And
oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. We're actually going to go to another caller right now. So, let's see.
Okay.
Area code 813.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I robbed you on Denver Hardwell. What's happening?
Oh, what's happening right now?
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
They killed you up.
Oh, what was that? Say that again.
They killed you off.
Why did they kill up?
Oh, why did they kill me off? A very good question. I'm not sure they know. I'm not sure I know why. I'm not sure they know why. It kind of started happening, you know. It was like I don't know why I became an assassin. Honestly, I have no idea why I was the one who was. There was a very strange scene where it was. If you remember, it was like Claudia and Jerry and myself, and they were like, who's gonna try to kill Sonny? And then Claudia's like, I'm not going to do it. Jerry's like, well, I'm not going to do it either. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And I'm like, wait a minute. The day I read that, I was like, wait, what is happening? What is happening with my character? So I don't know. It kind of, the way it was explained to me is my character went down a road and you really can't shoot a Corinthos and expect to be living.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
That's my best explanation of why I got killed off and why that happened. So, I did a bad thing.
Thanks so much for your call, Maggie.
I'm on the randomin.
Hi, Maggie. What's up? Hi, Maggie.
Thank you for everything.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Goodbye to Seamus.
Bye, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, let's jump right into another caller. Area code 305.
Miami.
Hi. Well, Desi took my picture. Hi, Seamus.
Hi.
Nikki, I'm going to pull a random question here.
because Desi stole mine.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, you're not, but that's okay. I would like to know, would you ever come back to a different, if not General Hospital, a different daytime? Would you like to stick with theater?
Would I love to stick with theater? Well, there's really not that much money to be made in theater. I love theater. It's one of those things that it's really hard to make a living in it. Would I ever come back for? I mean, I would love ideally to be doing feature films and theater and TV, and I've done all those things, and you know, right now doing another TV series right now. So it's where it happens, you know. Of course, yeah, I'd love to come back to General Hospital and work with all these people because they became my friends. And you know, you go there and you know everyone from the security guard downstairs who you have conversations with walking into everyone in hair and makeup and wardrobe, and it's like, all right, you know, and then not seeing them every day, you're like, oh crap. So I'd love to come back to GH, and if the opportunity presents itself, and only, I would say, only if it's a really interesting character that I'd be playing. I'm definitely not going to do any kind of one-off kind of things, or, you know, it would have to be something where they, you know, were serious about character development, and that it was something that they planned me sticking around for a while. Then I would go back to daytime and take one of those roles. So, which might happen. You never know. The world's an interesting place. It could happen.
True. Okay.
Hey, thanks so much, Nikki.
Thanks,
Have a good
Nikki.
Night, guys. Bye.
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 Yeah, I mean, me and Desiree have been to the set, and there's just, like, it's kind of like a whole, like, big family, like, everybody going around and joking around and just, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's
like
great.
All brothers and sisters kind of, you know, around there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of those people have been working together for, you know, for, like, 30 years, you know, so it's like they have a relationship that's more than just, you know, more than just some show that they're doing. I mean, they were there before like, it moved to, they remember when it was still at, like, Sunset Gower Studios. You know, before they moved to this new building, you know, 15 years ago, right? So
yeah.
they have a big, you know, relationship, and you know, it's, I think that's fantastic. You want that, you know, you want to belong to a family kind of setting, and yeah, it was really sad to see everyone goodbye. There were a lot of people who were very sad to see me go. People I'd started getting along with really well, and they were a little irritated that I was leaving. So, you know. We'll see.
All right, let's see. Another caller. Area code 623.
Hello, it's Michelle.
Hello,
hi, Michelle.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't know what to ask. I don't know what to say. So, let's see. I did like Ian with Sam, but I think the chemistry with Claudia would have been more interesting.
Yeah, you know, it would. I thought for a moment that a flicker of, I think it was like maybe my first scene that I had with her. I was like, huh, is this heading
in the hospital?
Yeah, there was a scene in the hospital, and then there was another scene like in her office that I was like, wait a minute, is this headed down this road? And I was like, I don't know if that's a good idea. I was concerned about Ian's safety. I think anyone who gets involved with Claudia, I think you should be concerned about your safety.
That is
because
true.
Bad things might start happening to you. but which, you know, I guess they did. I guess the day I got involved with just hanging out with Claudia, things got bad for my character. So hey, rule of thumb there. That's interesting. Yeah, I thought for a second there. She was, you know, Sarah's so much fun to play with because she gives you so much attention. And she's very focused, and she's always there. So she was a lot of fun to play with. And then when we started getting adversarial, those were a lot of fun too, because it's just us yelling at each other, kind of fun.
Very awesome. And I'm gonna be called out by Jen if I don't say this.
Mm-hmm.
Kenton and I are having a girls' night out, July 10th at the fan club weekend, and we wanted to see you there.
Okay.
Yes,
well, I hope to be there. Yeah, I will. That's good to know. Thank you. Thank you.
It's
going
to be a little rowdy, and they may ask you to dance, but.
Oh, God, wow.
You'll be in good company with all the other little boys that we have show up.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, who else is showing up? You going to get, like, Jason Thompson out there?
Jason,
or, like...
Gearhart, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah. Then they have some surprise guests they're still working on.
Oh, very cool. Well, let me know. Let me know. Shoot me an email.
We'll email you about it.
Email me. Yeah, you can contact me through my website. There's like a little contact me button. So shoot me an email. And I will remind you. Okay. If I'm not here in Charleston, yes, I'll be there. So.
All right.
That's great, Missy. I didn't have to call you out. It's always good when I'm at
the show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Missy.
Bye.
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 It's always nice when I have to nudge people along.
Oh.
I'm the nudger.
All the time.
I do. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take another caller.
Famous
laugh. Go ahead.
I just love Seamus's laugh.
My laugh?
Yeah,
really?
You're making me laugh.
I want you to just laugh so I can cut it up and make it into a soundbite now.
Oh, is it a clean laugh? I don't know. It has to be spontaneous. I have a little bit of a giggle. I like to laugh. You know, it's one of those. I play a lot of serious characters, but I really, honestly, do just like to laugh. You know, like a lot of people, but you know, I do. I play all these. You know. Drug dealers and bad guys and stuff like that. But honestly, I'm a very jolly person. I mean, I have to say.
But we like you as a bad boy, though.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the crux of everything, isn't it? I just wanted you to do that one thing, and you know.
All right.
I do agree with Joanne. You have a great laugh. It's making me
happy. Thank you so much. That's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
Okay, we're actually running out of time, but I do want to take the callers that we do have on the line, so let's get to
it. Let's do it. Okay.
All right. Area code 281.
Hi, my name is Veronica Robles. How are you?
Good, Veronica. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan of your work on General Hospital, and you did an awesome and terrific job on the show. And I'm just a huge fan of your work very much. And I'm so excited that you're going to be on Army Wives.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Veronica.
It's one of my favorite shows, Army Wives, and I will totally be tuning in very
all
much.
Right.
And I also wanted to know, what upcoming projects that we, as your fans, what can we be looking forward to seeing you? Like, do you have any things like feature films or anything coming out or no?
Well, we'll see. There's a feature film that I did that I'm actually very proud of, and I hope it comes to you very soon. A film called Ready or Not that I had a lot of fun making, and it's very funny and a very funny role, and I had a fantastic time doing it. So Ready
That's
or
good.
Not.
And
is there
and
information
also,
on IMDb?
And
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And also,
okay.
It's because I'm also taking a theater class for January of next year in college. What is the best? What's the best advice? You know, of trying to get through the theater class, theater course.
Theater. Read some Stanislavski. It's hard.
Okay.
It's hard at first, but go read some Stanislavski. Go read An Actor Prepares.
Okay.
And you'll be so full of good advice that you'll want to kill yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Amos. Thank you
of course.
So much.
No problem, Veronica.
Thanks, Veronica.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So if anybody wants to create a buzz about Seamus' movie, go over to IMDb and post on their message board because they check that stuff. So go and create buzz around it, around the internet and everything, and so this way we can all see it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it will come out. It will see the light of day, but I would like to be sooner rather than later.
We'll help it along.
Oh, good. I also did an episode of Mad Men recently. I did the first episode of the second season, so that'll be coming to you soon. I don't know when that is, but that's a great show. I that's I yeah, that's a big total props to that show. It's I'd never like really seen it before. I had done an episode, and I'm like, wow, this is great. So I'm very proud to say that I was on the first episode of the second season of that show. So look for that.
Great. All right, we have another caller that we haven't we have time for.
Groovy.
Let's see, area code 904.
Hey, it's Georgette.
Hi, Georgette.
How are you doing?
Hi, Georgette. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I really don't have a question, but I just want to say you did a great job on the show. Oh, well, actually, let me ask you. If you could have worked with anyone on the show or had a relationship with anyone on the show, your character, Dr. Devlin, who would you pick and why from the time that you were on the show?
This is going to sound so weird, but Maurice. I would love to work with Maurice. No, it's going to sound so weird because I shot his son. But no, I would have loved to work with him. He's a very serious actor, you know, and he takes his work very serious. Mm-hmm. And I admire that because, I mean, it would be so easy for him to just, you know, kind of walk through that. But he's, you know, he's been on that show a long time and he still takes it very seriously. So, you know, he comes in prepared and he does his stuff and I would have liked to have worked with him. So,
he does. That would have been funny. But hope to see you at Fan Club Weekend. And
right.
Very excited. We hope you better come. I just want to see you.
Thank you. Come. You better come.
Okay. I will clear my schedule.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks so much for calling, Georgette.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye, Georgette.
All right, well, we actually have about 3 minutes left, but Seamus, we were hoping that you can do a promo for our show. You know, hi, this is Seamus Dever, and you're listening to Stardust Radio.
Okay, yeah, I'll do it.
So whenever you're ready, just say whatever.
Okay. Hi, this is Seamus Dever, and you're listening to Stardust Radio. Thanks for listening.
Yay, that was great.
Seamus, your wife has a role in that movie also, correct?
Yeah, Julie, she's in the movie. She plays one of the bridesmaids. It's actually a really funny movie. It's about a bachelor party that goes awry and it ends up in Mexico and it's crazy. I had so much fun. I learned how to ride a horse. I got a motorcycle accident, jacked up my left knee. Yeah, oh, yeah. So, yeah, I bled for that movie. So I hope it makes it because I'm actually very proud of it. I've seen a screening of it recently, and it's like sometimes you see stuff and you're like, oh, kind of crap. I hope no one ever sees it. And then sometimes you see something like, oh, God, people have got to see this. So, yeah, my wife is in that as well. So she's an actor as well. And yeah.
Anything out now that she's in that we can look for?
She's done a couple horror films that you can rent. She was in The Mangler Reborn and another movie called Sasquatch Hunters. She does a bunch of horror films, but she wants to break out of that and do lots of other stuff, as does everyone else. But yeah. You could see her in that. Available for rent probably at your local Blockbuster, I would guess. So yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to say thank you for coming on the show, girls.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely a lot of fun.
Yes,
well, thank you. I had a lot of fun as well, so thanks for contacting me.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We'll stay in touch, and when you have some new stuff coming out, we'll have you back on.
Yes, you have an open invitation.
Excellent. Well, good night, ladies, and
good, night.
Good luck with everything. Stay in contact.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Seamus.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Oh.
All right, girls. I think another successful show for the books.
Yes, and we love Seamus.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So we've got 1 minute left, and I guess we can kind of go out with Eden Regal, maybe?
All right. Go ahead.
All right, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Alicia Willis tomorrow night, 10 o'clock.
Hey, I'm Eden Regal on Stardust. Thank you so much for listening.